all have done so. If you've written a book, you struggle with the title and you go through all sorts of ideas. You list words and you look at it and you say, not quite, or what words that describe it, reflect the book, but also have a good catchy title for public sale, all those things. And I was really struggling to find a word, to find a title. And then one evening after work, I went for a walk in my local neighbourhood, not thinking about the book or thinking of anything like that, just enjoying a walk. And for some reason, out of the darkness or semi-darkness, popped these three words into my brain: enjoy being you. And I nearly did cartwheels on the spot. It was I was so excited. Suddenly, that's the three words. And so that was how the book came to be: enjoy being you. But in fact, there's more to that. And in fact, I want to quote, I wrote in the book three of my definitions of what enjoy and being and you meant. And it's significantly, I want to read what I said. It's not terribly, this one's not terribly long, but I think you might be interested to note some of the things I say in it. Enjoy. Leisure is first, remember this is about enjoy being enjoy your leisure. The book was actually called Enjoy Being You, How Leisure Can Help You Become the Person You Want to Be. So there was a lifestyle component in it. Leisure is first, last and foremost about enjoyment. True enjoyment comes from expressing your uniqueness. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Allow the real you to come to the surface. Enjoy being the person that you are rather than the person you think others would like you to be. That was my definition of enjoy. Then there was the word being. We are human beings. We were born, we are here on the world, we exist. To be is to more than to exist as a vegetable, however. Humans have the capacity to reason and make judgments, capabilities we should use. I prefer to regard being as allowing the natural self to shine through. Remember, I wrote this 20 years ago. To let life flow and to take advantage of every opportunity that is presented. We are part of a bigger picture that we cannot control, timely, but we can certainly control how we respond to events as they occur. In this context, being and living are synonymous and dynamic expressions. And finally, the word you. I think it is no coincidence the word you is phonetically the same as the first syllable of unique. The fact that you are the product of life experiences that are different to anyone else's is an advantage to embrace, cherish, and build on. One of life's great challenges is embodied in the saying, know thyself. We learn about ourselves every day of our lives, increasingly so as we get older. It is in fact one of life's great joys to constantly discover, develop, refine, and understand every aspect of self. Now, I hadn't even thought of the terms seven features of enjoying being your true self, but they're all there in those short paragraphs about what enjoy being you meant. So you've already got some idea of the significance of what those three words can mean. Three little words. It is dry. If anyone want to have a little sip, by all means, I'm going to do so. And people ask me, Peter, do you always enjoy being you? And of course you don't. And it's a fact of life that you tend to really understand what enjoyment means when you're not enjoying yourself, when things are not going well. And I want to spend a few minutes talking about a time quite a few years ago now where I was going, although actually not around much the time as I was writing Enjoy Being You, it's the two aren't connected, but it was around that sort of era where I had a fairly dark 6 months, and it went on literally for a good 6 months. And it was two main factors. I was involved in a relationship that had we tried, the lady concerned had moved in with me at one stage and then moved out, and various things we tried. It became very stressful. I'm not a good guy at dealing with conflict, as some of you may know. And I was really stressed out with this relationship there, which went on, as I say, for some time. And I won't go into any more detail than that, but it was quite a long-term issue. And at the same time, and I'm not certain whether the two affected each other, I was having strife with the job I was in. I was in a contract job and had been going for quite some time doing the recreation planning work. And then during this time, around this time where I was having these bad times, the other factor was they changed me into another area of work. They took me out of recreation planning and made me a project manager or a project officer. And it was something I struggled with and couldn't cope with, to the point where it was during, I was due for a renewal of the contract at the end of that year. And the manager said to me, "Peter, I think you and I probably agree, much as you've been with us for some years and we've renewed your contract more than a couple of times, it doesn't look as though we really can renew your contract. And so we will be, I'm giving you the due 3 months notice you're entitled to, that you won't get your contract renewed." And much as I had no choice but to accept it, I was probably agreed it was probably necessary. I was very stressed in the job I was doing. So anyway, but the one thing the organisation did for me was they said, "Peter, we're going to pay for you to do a Myers-Briggs assessment, because it just might help you work out what you're going to do." So we did that, and I came out with flying colours on every one of the various categories of the assessment except one. And the one that I actually was almost zero was self-esteem. And I knew that. My self-esteem was actually rock bottom. And over a period of months, of course, it wasn't an overnight thing. But the reason I want to relate that story to you is because I'm going to bring out what happened to bring me back to being who I am now, and how that actually introduces to you the whole of the seven features of enjoying being your true self. Because while I was towards the latter stages of this 6 months, I was going to church, but I was going through the motions pretty much. I just thought, it was part of my regular routine was to go to church on Sundays, but not getting an awful lot out of it. And one of the women in the church choir said, "Peter, that we need a tenor in the church choir. You've got a good singing voice. Would you like to join the choir?" Well, I have always loved singing as a young person. My mother was singing quite in these sort of light operetta stuff, and I did it. But I really was not feeling like singing. I was very down, and I said, "Thank you. Look, lovely idea, but no." And I was asked again a few times, and I continued to say no. But then eventually I said, I don't know. I suppose a Thursday night rehearsal won't do me any harm. I'll go along. So I went along, and the first night of the rehearsal, the director stood there and said, "Peter, welcome. We are really pleased to see you here. We've been hoping you'll join, and now you've come in, and we're really looking forward to having you with us." And with that, the choir of about 22 people burst into applause. And I'm going to tell you, that was a pretty meaningful occasion to me at that stage. I hadn't felt anything like that for quite some time. And I can clearly remember that occasion very, very clearly. And I went on with a rehearsal that night. And the next morning I got up and I thought, that was nice. That I quite enjoyed that. And I went back the next week and things went better. And I started to feel better, not just at choir on Thursday night, but I would feel better on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday. I started to see life differently. It was a bit like the way I've often described, it was a bit like the tugboat starting to turn the Queen Mary around. It just starts to get it in the right direction. And I found that this was helping to lighten the load and generally make me feel just a bit different to myself. And there was the ripple effect was flowing through into everything else I was doing. And I started to see life a little more confidently, a little more positively, and started to reassess where I was going and what my potential might still be. Now, out of that, there are about seven, the whole bit, there's a whole lot of points that come out of that one, which I just want to switch on to you. With the seven features, first of all, I want to talk about the enjoyment factor. First of all, I have a deep love of singing. Now, any of you who like singing, Shelley, I know Shelley's a great one on singing too. Shelley is enjoys singing, and anyways, there is a lot more to just the fact of standing up and doing some singing. There is an expression that you really want to project as an individual. So we're looking at the central enjoyment factor of that slide, thanks, Sally, of where we're at. So the enjoyment factor was something of more than just singing. There's a depth of expression, there's emotions, there's bringing out what's in the heart, And when the heart isn't strong, as it wasn't with me initially, it was telling my heart to forget it and get on with things. And I thought that this is, so you found just the very act of singing was itself a great thing to do, because you're trying to sing with some purpose, with some reason. You're trying to get the right note to blend in with the rest of the choir, to do what the director wants. There's so much emotion, and the reason why you're singing, what's the purpose of it? What's the message you're trying to get across? All of these come out when you sing. So the enjoyment of singing was a very big part of, and a very central part, and comes out in all the other six that are listed there, as I'll demonstrate to you. And then comes the next one, which a choir singing does incredibly well, is connection, connecting with like-minded others. Suddenly I was back in an environment of people who were like me, who loved what I loved, who did what the same as me, who loved talking to me, and I loved talking to them. I loved singing with them. I found them to this day, they're still my family outside my family, because it's such a important part of my life to be bonding with those people. So the connection with others, with like-minded others, was very much a part of that feature. Then we go on to what I've called emotional energy. And to some people, the word energize might be a more clear way of expressing that. That when anything you do which energizes you, and I was certainly feeling energized by what was happening in the choir on a Thursday night. And then, of course, on Sunday morning, we'd have to front up and sing three pieces to the church, to the congregation, as well as whatever we were singing as part of the congregational singing. So there was a sense of projecting energy, and you are being energized at least twice a week through the rehearsal. I think as one person said to me in the choir some years ago, there's nowhere I'd rather be on a Thursday night than at choir rehearsal. And it's simply because of the sorts of features I'm bringing out to you now. So there was this connection, there was energy, there was the enjoyment factor. Passion, almost don't have to really mention. That's been a passion, but it means that the passion is always there. The passion to sing had been there since I was a boy, because my mother loved singing and we would sing along together. So the passion was always there to sing. And it got buried for a while. It certainly got buried badly in that 6 months of dark times. But it was really they're always there, and the going to choir triggered and re-energized that passion. So I put two together. The enjoyment re-energized by passion, by connecting with like-minded people. You can put it all into one sentence straight away. Then there's the word gifts and talents. Now, the people tend to relate gifts and talents to, you know, Olympic medalists or, you know, top celebrities who are the world's great singers, the world's great artists, have a talent that's put them where they are. But in fact, we all have talents. And we all have talents in one sort or another, which other people value in you. I got asked to join that choir, not because I wanted to join, obviously, but because they said, we like what you sing, Pete, and we'd like you to sing with us. There was they believed that I had a gift or a talent, not in the deep sense that perhaps I might go on to great things in the future, but simply I had something that other people valued and wanted. And that was something that was born within me that was always there. So we can now talk about that. Then we talk about the positive outlook. Clearly, I started with a negative impression about going to church choir. And within the first night, it had triggered a positive outlook for me in what I was doing. So we now have a positive gifts, a positive outlook of the enjoyment factor, the emotional energy, the gifts, the talents, the connection with others, and the passion. And then we come to continuous development. Well, the fact that I'm still singing in the choir, not only singing in a choir, but I've had all the ripple effect that is taking me through to other things, which many of which I had no idea that was what I was going to do. And there's a particularly good reason why that it's significant. There's a significance about where in my life this had happened. Sally, would you mind bringing up the bell curve lifestyle slide, please? Now, this is traditionally the idea of what a human life cycle is all about, that we're born, we grow, we mature, and then by the time we get to our 50 or 60, we're over the hill and on the decline. Or if we think about it, we reinvent ourselves in some way, but even that becomes another bell curve that you'll reinvent, you'll get to some maturity, and you'll eventually decline. Now, really, that isn't the way I see life. If you looked at where I was at that time, I was probably around about there. So you can see I was at the peak of my maturity about that stage. I think, can you see my arrow? Can you on that one? Oh, Sally's going to do it. That's where I was about that time. Now, you think if I was going through 6 months of depression at that stage, and that was, in fact, what our real life cycle was, I was gone. That would be it. I'd be on that decline, and who knows whether I'd even still be here today. I thought, no, that's not what life is all about. And I've learned to look at life another way, the lifestyle. So, Sally, perhaps you just throw the other one up there. Because I believe now that what we do is the longer we go, the longer we learn, we gradually over our lives, we accumulate knowledge, understanding, perspective, personal insight, wisdom, all those things we gradually build. And down the bottom there, you've got the birth, 20, 40, 60, 80, to whatever age. Now, if you take that, say, 60 or a bit below that, and Sally, you can put your marker just there, and perhaps up on the line, the rising line. Now, that's probably where I was about when that happened. Now, I'm now 80. So, and I would like to think that what's happened since then, very much so, that rise has continued. And so the continuous development triggered by that events has carries on. And so long as I can remain healthy, I believe that depth, we measure age in years, we measure growth in depth. So all of that through that experience for me. Now, I've got no doubt many of you, if not all of you, can probably relate to something in your own life. We'll come to that one a little later, I think. Thanks, Sally. You can relate to that in your own life very much about this is what life really is all about. We've got to get rid of that Bell life cycle concept because it really doesn't demonstrate where we're at with our lives and what our potential for the future is. And I think particularly in an aging society, community's got to recognize that more and more, that what they're seeing in that 60 plus graph there is incredible amount of potential in the left in society based on a really greater depth of understanding of people and life. I think it's a really important message of a whole thing there. So actually, if we just flick back to that, the seven features again, thanks, Sally. It's great having Sally do this. It makes life so much easier for me. So you can see I've actually touched on all of those. And the other fact I just want to draw on that as well is that in accumulating those over the time, particularly before and since that experience in my life, I'm more than the sum of those seven. That saying about the sum of the total is greater than the sum of the individual parts. I haven't just developed each of those individually. Each of those has impacted on the other and developed a lot so that the overall impact is something greater than just the collective numbers output of each of those seven factors. So what I want to do now, have another sip of water. I want to spend a bit of time on two or three of them. We'll see how our time goes. At least two of them in a bit more depth. Now, I did in Zoominar 1, we talked about the enjoyment factor and continuous development. I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about the connecting with like-minded people and a bit about the gifts and talents and the emotional energy. And we'll see how we're going for time, if we can get time to cover all three. So by then, you've got a reasonable feel. And I hope even with that story, you've got a good feel for what the seven key features of enjoying being your true self mean. By the way, I introduced the extra words your true self because I believe that's where the relevance comes to what's happened now with COVID-19. this need for people to reassess who they are and what they're good at and what other people value in you. And that's so, and to bring out that true self. So enjoy being you may well be sufficient words. But I think to emphasize the point of the reactions to COVID-19, we talk about enjoying being your true self rather than the person that you perhaps had to be to make the money and be someone, and rather than do what you passionately love, to actually do things which are going to bring you money in. And that's another story with me too, which we actually touched on in the first one, if some of you happen to be in that one. So let's talk a bit about this talents and gifts and abilities. When did you last, I think the best way to understand what your talents and your gifts are to ask people who you trust. I wonder how often you've been told by another person, hey, you're good at da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Because that's the one thing that we all want to get the most out of life. Whatever we do, we're looking to get the most out of our lives, and our natural gifts and talents are the source on which we have. We've got some gifts, we've got some talents. If we may have had to suppress them, we may have not recognized we've got them. We may have those which I actually call latent talents, where we believe they're ones which we perhaps don't even know we've got yet. The classic story I tell about that is the parent who goes along to the son or daughter's sports club annual general meeting and leaves the meeting as president of the club, totally unexpected, and didn't go there for that reason. But the people said, look, you'd be great for this one, John or Fred or whatever the father's name was. And I'm using the father, I wasn't in it, it could be the mother. And saying, look, you'd be good at this. And he said, look, I've never been a president of an organization. And at the end of 12 months, you've learned how to organize public events. You've learned how to run meetings. You've learned how to do all the things that you do when you run an organization, many of which you didn't think you were either any good at or surprise yourself about how well you did do at it. They're gifts and talents that we all have and which get expressed in all sorts of ways. I found myself going, I go back to about age 14, and you know, we can go right back. At 14 years of age, I was captain of a junior hockey team, and I was asked whether I could write up a report about the match each week that our junior team played and hand it into the club secretary, and it will be put into the club newsletter each week. Well, you know, one of the things I used to love doing was thinking, I reckon I'd make a good Melbourne Cup jockey, a Melbourne Cup commentator, and I'd be making up Melbourne Cup races and, you know, calling the race and trying to sound just like, you know, caught them well at the start and we're away, that sort of stuff. That was something I used to love doing. Well, I latched onto this writing reports for the club committee, and I tried to write up a sports report, and I got really good feedback. These are wonderful newsletters. Everybody want to read them. So that goes back to when I was 14. And then I became editor of a newsletter and of the church newsletter. And I threw in, of my own volition, I would write an editorial. No editor of the church letter had ever done that before. I wrote an editorial on some current issue from a Christian point of view. And that used to go down well. I was really enjoying it. There was a talent or a gift there of some sort. I seemed to be president of everything. I kept on finding myself becoming presidents of various organisations. In my 20s, I became president of my old Canberrans hockey club, a very large hockey club in Canberra when I was living there. And I recall after I'd been in that job for about 3 years, I was president for some 6 years. One of the committee members came up to me and said, Peter, do you realise in the 3 years you've been president of this club, we have not had one major conflict. It's, you know, we really owe it to the way you run this club. I've never forgotten that. But I think the best story I've got to say about that was I was on a coach tour of New Zealand. A bus coach tour, and with a couple of friends, and it was one of those tours. You know, we had a full bus of about 44 people, as they do. And if you've done those sort of tours, they had the driver had a really good idea that we would rotate every day, so you were sitting next to someone different every day. But we're only on about the second day of the trip, and we were due to go into a Maori village, And as we arrived at the outskirts of the village, the local Maori guy jumped on the coach and explained what we had to do. He said, there's a protocol you have to follow to get into the village. And the first thing you have to do is to nominate someone to be your leader. Instantly, 43 heads turned and looked at me. Now, apart from my couple of mates, I knew no one. What is it? Somewhere or another, I was the person who did it. Now, I have, and I'm not going to demonstrate it here, but I have something to be proud of, because there was another coach at the same day, and we were invited to go to a competition. If you've been to New Zealand, you have a long tongue competition. I won. And I'm not putting the tongue out for you, but these are all examples of, I didn't say I was good at these things. People came to me and said, Peter, you're good at such and such. You need someone to say to you, Peter, it's a bit like the school day gratitudes where one person in the class stands up and everyone else says what they like about that person. It's a great idea in a school class. If you can find yourself in a situation where you can find three or perhaps four people who you know well and trust and say, what do you think I'm good at? I think you may well be surprised at what you hear. And because they're people that you trust and understand, they might give you a bit of a ribbing too. That's fine. They're your friends. But I think you might be amazed at what you'll learn from hearing people say what you're good at, apart from when you find yourselves, as I did when in coming up to doing my life mentoring. People came to me to help because they knew, they said I was good at something, rather than me going to them and saying, I'd like to do this. So this whole idea of talents and gifts is a very deep thing, which is relevant to every person. We are unique. We each have our own particular mix of gifts and talents, and we have experiences which develop those in our own way and give us something unique to offer the world, so that we invest in ourselves, we invest in our gifts and our talents. And now more than ever is the time to invest in our natural, unique gifts and talents to actually continue to thrive and survive in a very changing world. I want to move on then connecting with like-minded people. Now, I've already given you a pretty strong example of what I mean by that in my connection with the choir. But it does go deeper than that, because when we talk about just connecting with like-minded people, there are a number of factors which come into play. One of which is, for true connection, that people who mirror you, who it's almost you look into a mirror and you can see yourself in these other people, not visually, but in terms of the way they see life, the way they look at things, their reactions, you're in sync with them. Your thinking is almost an entrainment. The two of you are working and thinking together. There's that sense of flow of connection going on between you. And if there isn't that sense of flow and connection, you either have to decide, look, I've got to play the game and continue to communicate with this person, or I've got to move on and find other people, because that energy is not there flowing between us. So this connection is a mirrored sort of connection, which is so vital to any good relationship. And without it, the rest of it, the enjoyment factor and all the others, simply don't gel. They simply become something that you play the game you've got to play, because these people you need to keep in touch with. You've just got to do the right thing, and you do. But it's when you meet with people who you genuinely connect with, and you have a mirror your everything about you with you. And that goes even deeper too, because connecting means listening. Listening is something which we're not very good at. We tend to listen for the pause so that we can jump in and say what we want to say and to give our point of view, and quite often in contrast to what the other person's point of view is. And yet we all know that as life goes by, you only learn when you listen. You're not learning while you're talking. So the listening is incredibly important. But you don't just listen with your ears. You're listening with your head, you're listening with your heart, and you're listening with your soul. There's a depth of listening that really means something that's going to stay with you. And when you're talking, when you're communicating with that person, when you can learn to communicate with that person through your, not just through your words, but through your heart, through your soul, where there's a sense of real flow going on between the two beings that you are, then that's where you've got this sense of real connection. And there's sorts of connections that you need to have. And when you're getting towards looking at the life after full-time work, one of the key things, even more importantly, is actually connections with a diversity of people, whereby even in your working years, if your only connection is with, and in the sense that I've been describing, if your only connection is with people who are like you at work, and you can only get that at work, then you're very limiting your ability. And particularly if eventually you don't work in that organisation, you're going to be very lost. There are sad examples of people who haven't made other friendships and made other connections when they leave work, and they decide they'll pop back into the office and say hello to all those people that they really know well. And the reaction they get can be quite different. Lee, really nice to see you. Got to go, got an appointment coming, can't wait, can't talk. See you later. Good luck, hope all goes well. Very deflating. We need to have a diversity of connections where you can, not only for reasons of, you know, having someone to talk to, but because you've got to have a diversity of interests. And I hope you have a diversity of interests now, be they leisure interests, be they different working interests. In my case, I really enjoy the connection with the sort of people I'm talking to, people like yourselves I'm talking to now, and many others like you in the business scene are very important to my life. My church is important to my life. My choir within that church is important. My golf connection, I was president of the golf club for 3 years, and I used to say we're all there for more reasons than simply hitting a silly white golf ball around. We're there because of the camaraderie and the mutual friendship that we all get from being with like-minded people. So this connection is something that, and of course, it's so important if you're, I live on my own. And so connection and linking, so that you have, so you don't, you may be alone, but you're never lonely. It's such important distinction to see. And in this, of course, in this age, something like 25% of people live on their own. And there is an increasing, I think in the United Kingdom, they now have a minister for loneliness. A really sad issue, that because we've got to, it's okay to be alone, but you need connections of the type I've just been describing so that you actually feel like you are part of something bigger than you. We work to be part of something bigger than ourselves. We need to always feel that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. And that's something that you, by then looking and connecting with, mirroring with people like you, you're immediately setting up the potential to be part of something where the two of you, the three of you, the four of you, the 20 of you share something bigger than each of you as individuals. Huge part of what life's all about connecting with the others. Emotional energy. And I've got in the front of that, sustaining your emotional energy. We all get bursts of energy at times. Things, you know, have a great experience of some sort. Wow, that was terrific. And then you go back to whatever you do, the more stressful parts of life. And perhaps if you don't do it very often, the energy you got out of that experience eventually wanes and might even disappear. Clearly, before that 6 months of mine, I was having plenty of energizing experiences. But they were being deadened very much by a long term, and the energy wasn't being sustained. And it's taking this thinking about what you enjoy doing all the time and as frequently as possible. The more frequently you enjoy doing something that energizes you, the greater you sustain your energy over the long period. I once asked a person, "What do you do for energy?" And she said, "I go to the gym 3 times a week. And I was very impressed with that. And I said, "That's good. What do you do to energize?" Quick as a flash, "I love tap dancing." Didn't need energizing explained, but you've straight away understood the difference between energy and energizing. and energizing experiences. You can have energizing experiences at work, but you do need energizing experiences at other times, because if the work isn't energizing you, you need to have something which is going to build up the fight to get over the flight. And the flight, you need to, the idea of the caveman who went off and killed the woolly mammoth once a month to feed the family, got incredibly stressed about the prospect of going out to fight the woolly mammoth and kill it and bring it home. But he had a month to get over that because there was enough meat out of that for a month. But of course, the life we're leading now is we're doing the fight and flight so much that it's just continuously one to the other. And as such, we are burning out too rapidly. And so the energy factor is an incredibly important part of our lives. Another one of my sayings is, I've got to get it right now. You can't deficit budget time, but you can deficit budget energy. And by that, I mean that when you have an experience, which might even only be 10 minutes, a break for coffee, chat with a friend in the coffee shop, or whether it's something more significant in a half a day or a day, the energy you generate to replace the energy that was burnt by the other times, the rest of the day or the rest of the week, is sufficient to give you the energy to deal with the rest of the week. Whereas I think time, life work balance, I don't like. I talk about either life work harmony, where you actually get a harmonious mix of energy at work and at home, or even better, work life energy, where you're generating new energy in various ways to replace the burnt out energy. If you drive a car, the energy in the car is, we call, fuel, petrol, and you keep driving. If you just kept driving that car, the inevitable result would be you'd run out of petrol. So you pull off the road of life periodically and go into the service station, which might be a recreational interest, and it might be a choir in my case, where you generate new energy. And you can then get back out into, but then, you know, you need to have that car serviced for regularly. And that's where you need to think about the whole seven features, not just the energy. You've got to think about the continuous development, the positive outlook, the gifts and talents, the enjoyment, all of those become part of the service station, which does more than supply you with fuel. I think it's a really great analogy to think about, what does energy mean in your life? And it's emotional energy. What keeps you going and generates new energy and builds your life? I think probably those are the actually, Sally, you can throw up that other one now about, I've got a personal, the Big Bang Theory one. That's it. This is a quite artificial theory. I'm not a scientist. Don't take anything too literally in this. But I do have this belief that, in a sense, we're a bit like the Big Bang Theory, that every time you have an energizing experience, you actually explode the seven features. And when you explode each of those experiences, explodes them again, it links to others. And gradually, as your life goes, the more often you have energizing experiences, the wider the energy level goes, the greater the depth, and you start to get that's where you get your growth and development and wisdom and perspective through this energizing, what I call the Big Bang Theory. Actually, it's the Big Bang Theory. I've got a typo there. The Big Bang Theory is what it's supposed to be. As we talk about the universe, Big Bang Theory, whereby the idea that the universe has been gradually growing through various explosions. And I'm suggesting that your life is something like that, and that you need to find energizing experiences. And it's only when energizing experiences happen that you grow. There's the other ones burn up the energy, and they might stagnate you or take you further back. But I think that Big Bang Theory gives you a good feeling about the more often you can find energizing experiences. And they don't have to be major ones. I mentioned the coffee one. I spend quite a bit of time working in a coffee shop, and I get to see a lot of people coming and going. And one of the things I've noted, and I actually wrote a little article about mum's coffee shops and stress, because I can see so often how a mother of small children comes into that coffee shop, sits down with little boy or girl, gets them gets her coffee, gets them a baby chino and a smiley Vicky, and sits down, and you can see her almost physically, probably only for 10 minutes, and then off again to do the shopping or whatever. But incredibly important little things like that can actually generate you new energy to move on with the rest of the day and the rest of life. So I really think this energy is a huge part of what we're talking about. I need to wind up pretty soon. I just want to make a few key points to round off on this. And I want to reemphasize that one. Talk to people who know you well. Ask them, what's the feature about me that you think I'm good at? Not the person saying, oh, look, you know, you're great at this job or that great at that job. What is it about me that you think I'm really good at? What do you value about me? Is it something about the way how I connect with people? Is it, what is it? And without even suggesting possibilities, see how they answer your question. Note about it. If needs be, quiz them a bit more. So I don't quite understand what you mean about it. Why do you say that? And if you can organise a small group of people that you know, and it could be someone like from work, someone in the family, a close personal friend of some sort, a bit of a mixture of male and female is good. I think that's a really important part of helping you to reassess who you are and what you're good at and where you might fit into the world from what other people tell you, because that's where we find out. We find out a lot more from what other people tell us about us than we do by trying to analyze ourselves. The other one I've mentioned is a tree doesn't stop growing at 65. That chart we have of the continuous growth from birth to death, like the tree starts off as an acorn and continues on to become a major tree. We try to become fruit trees at times because the oak doesn't make money, but the fruit tree does. But we have to always try and remember to be that sort of person. But whatever we do, there's no age when we don't stop growing at any predetermined age. Whatever the government or society might say, there is no age at which you actually are required to stop growing. You continue to grow as long as you stay healthy, as does the tree. One other important thing I've been finding out in doing these talks as well is how important it is to say what you think. And I think what happens when you're actually trying to be someone else than you think you are, you might have an idea in your head and say, I don't think that would go down very well. No, I won't say that. But when you are doing things confident in who you are, that you are at, in fact, living a life of basically enjoying being your true self, which doesn't mean to say you're happy all the time, but you're basically being the person you want to be, then you are so much more confident to say, well, my honest opinion is da, 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 I think this. And you're surprised, as I'm sure many of you find, you get surprised and help them say, hey, that really made sense. It's good. I like that. Or sometimes I say, I've got a dumb question. And I ask the question and people around me say, oh, I wish I'd asked that question. That's something I want to know and I wasn't going to ask. This sense of enjoying being your true self allows you to back yourself, to back who you are and be confident in what you say and be happy to accept what other people say. Well, that's fine if you don't agree, that's your opinion, but I believe it's so for this reason and that reason. And the person you don't have to back down, that's you. You're expressing your true self. And the last one, I guess, is the other thing about is it's control. We live in a world which we don't have a lot of control over. We're in businesses quite often that we have to do what other people want. We are told to do. We didn't have any choice with COVID-19. It hit us. We lose control in so many ways. The 7 key features of enjoying being your true self bring out that sense of what you can control. If I go back to those words that I said in that first thing about enjoying being... It's trouble, you've got a lot of notes. I can't just find it at the moment. But in that enjoyment one, how you are in control of your own life, of what you do. Now, so there are things you can't control, but you can control how you react to those things. Not a new saying, but becomes very significant. in the seven key features of enjoying being your true self. Just to close, what can you do now? One is we were recording this session and taking it out to and we hopefully will be able to let you have a copy of the recording at some stage. You can go to my website and find some other material which backs up what I've been saying to you today. On there, you'll find, if you go to the products section on the menu along the top of my homepage of Australia's People Gardener, if you go to the top of that, you'll see products and some free downloads which are pertinent to this. Please avail yourself of that. You don't have to leave an email number, address or anything. You simply go to the page that the link will take you to and download those free products. You can do that. Thank you. I just read that note from Anne-Marie. Thank you, Anne-Marie. So look at that. Now, of course, I've got two books. Enjoy Being You is still available on ebook form on Amazon. Simply search on Enjoy Being You, Peter Nichols, and you can find that. And of course, being an ebook, quite cheap to buy. So I can recommend you buy a copy of that. Or the other one, which was more to do with transition to life after work. Not necessarily, actually. It's almost another way of saying, the book is called The Hunger to Grow, but it's actually another form of saying enjoy being your true self. So the book, The Hunger to Grow, is a much more extensive book than Enjoy Being You, and I'd recommend that one to you. I'm looking not so much at, I'm certainly happy to do one-to-one consultations if someone wants to work through that. What I'd really like to do, and I'm looking to plan to do, is run small group workshops online. Say minimum four, maximum six people to go through the program, which it would be three 90-minute sessions, one a week, and you would have some homework to do in between each session. So you might like to consider that as an option at some stage, and keep an eye on my newsletters or whatever. I'll keep in touch. I'll let you know at such time as one of those might be organised to plan. And then Sally's just flashed up there that slide of who I am and my business. My website, Peter Nichols, www.australiaspeoplegardener.com.au. And you can find me on LinkedIn and like Peter Nichols Life Mentor Adelaide. And I'm also on Facebook as Peter Nichols 4, I think, because there are thousands of Peter Nichols. By all means, I'd be very happy to hear from you. And if you've got some time, I'm happy to take some questions. Thank you, Sally.
Back. Thank you, Peter. If I can just ask everyone just to do an aerial clap for Peter again. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
And by all means, unmute yourself if you have any questions or anything for Peter go with further from there.
We didn't see that last slide.
Didn't see that. That's all right. I was having tech issues. Let me just bring that up. I can do that now. Just give me 2 secs.
Was that the one about what I do, or is that the Big Bang Theory?
No, I saw Big Bang.
The Big Bang Theory.
This one.
Hang on. Second last one.
Yep, getting there. Sorry.
That's all right.
That was mentioned.
This is why I got Sally to do it.
And I'm still learning some of these things too. So all good. There you go.
You know, we men can't do more than one thing at a time, you see. That's
So that's Peter's email down there, et cetera, and for contact details there. So
was that what you wanted, Shelley?
I just thought I should mention it because it was referred to, but we didn't see it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. I've got to go. Thank you. That was fantastic.
Thank you. No, it's really good to have you. Toby McDonald, that's what I say. Toby is in America, but he comes from Adelaide. It's lovely to have had Toby on. Nice to see you on, Toby. Sorry we can't see your face, but I hope you're well.
Thanks, Peter. No, I appreciate your invitation to the presentation. It's 7 p.m. here, so I've been just lying next to my son Hugh, getting him to sleep, and it's that busy time with little kids. But I really appreciated listening in, and Hugh has been threatening to unmute me and turn on my video while we've been you know, putting the kids to bed.
That's yes, true. Now, where but, are you, Toby?
I've listened to every word. I'm
where
in Houston.
Are you in America, Toby?
In Houston. We're about 45 minutes north of Houston, in a place called The Woodlands.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, I'm working great. For a chemical company here that supplies bulk industrial chemicals and chemicals for the oil field. Yep.
Fantastic. So,
but great.
Good to talk great to you, mate.
See you. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Great. Okay. Thank you then, Toby. And thank you all. And I know as we're just on the hour, which is good. So thank you all for your time. And I look forward to any follow-up you'd like to make. I've got your addresses. We can send out in further information to all the addresses later on.
Yep.
Thank you.
Lovely. Well done.
See you.